Reading over today, we're going to discuss the series of Shiurim on the topic of Tchilas Shemaneinu. It's a very fascinating subject. And before we start, there's a lot of ground that I want to cover. And we're going to have a section at the end of the Shiur for questions and answers. And anybody can ask whatever they want. You could be here until Adonai's Meshachar. In the meantime, during the Shiur, since there's a lot of ground I want to cover, I want to go through it thoroughly. So I just asked to hold on to the questions till then. Yeah, unless it's something like lack of clarity with the, in the shiur itself, so we speak up, but otherwise we have a lot to do. So, because Tchilas is a controversial topic, so there are a couple of hakdamas that I would like to say. And that's, first of all, that people have this attitude that if you wear Tchilas, especially if you're in Tchilas, then you're biased to Tchilas, or you have an agenda that you're trying to push. So I'd like to say, first of all, that that's not true. It's a unfair statement to make. And there are a lot of people who are proponents of Tchilas, and they're very honest people. And I'd like to say also, me myself, I'm not a pro-Tchilas. I don't call myself pro-Tchilas. I do believe that, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Yerkes, which is what we're speaking about, is the correct source of Tchilas. However, I'm not pro-Tchilas, I'm pro-doing what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. You know, if somebody would disprove the rayas that we're going to speak around the Shiurim, then I would take off my Tchilas, no problem. It's going to be a very hard thing to do. But it's not like I'm trying to push Tchilas. I'm pro-being open-minded to anything that brings us closer to doing what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, to be kind of Tziburim. And I'm pro being intellectually honest. So, and that's a word that you're going to hear a number of times over this year, about being intellectually honest. But pro Tchilas, not pro Tchilas. I don't have an agenda, I'm not trying to get people to wear Tchilas, I'm not selling Tchilas at the end of this year. The purpose of this year is to give over the information, to go through the sugya of Tchilas, about Tchilas in general, and the Murex, in an honest way, and an open way, and you do with information what you feel, you know, when you, that's not my job, I'm not going to be following up with anybody. And that's what the Shiur is going to do. The more of the issue is the other way, that you find that anti-Tchilas, the bias anti-Tchilas is a more of an issue, because that obscures everybody, every normal, every regular Haredi Jew has an inherent bias against Tchilas, that they don't want to wear Tchilas. It goes against social norms, it goes against attitudes that we grew up with. So, there's inherent bias in it. And the Tchilas, I'll give you a story that happened. A friend of mine started wearing Tchilas, and the Rebbe of his, Chaver of his, started bothering about it and started telling him his issues with Tchilas. So my friend told me, what to do. So I asked him, should I speak to the Rebbe myself and speak to him about it? He said, what are the issues? So he said, yeah. So I called up the Rebbe and I told him, playing our mutual friend, I heard that you were talking to him about Tchilas. And he thought, he said, don't even bother, I'm not wearing Tchilas. I told him, I'm not trying to get you to wear Tchilas, I just heard that you have issues with it, and I want to discuss with you the issues you have with Tchilas. So he told me that he needs to do his homework, and he'll get back to me about it. And then we can discuss it. And the entire time, it's been already a couple of months, and I haven't heard from him. But maybe he's more, it's more clear, you know, his attitude of being anti-Tchilas, more open, but everybody has in themselves, any regular Haredi person has in themselves, a bias against Tchilas. It comes to something or not. So to go ahead and clear a platform of being objective, to going through to the sugya of Tchilas and the Murex, it's going to be hard. It's a challenge. So what could you do? So one option is to go ahead and tell myself, listen, I'm here to do what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. If Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to wear Tchilas, I'll wear Tchilas. If Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to wear Tchilas, I'll wear Tchilas. If this is not the correct Tchilas, I won't wear it. If it is the correct, I will wear it. To change a person's attitude towards a person. Now, a person is not capable of reaching that point. So then the other option is to go ahead and split the two sugyas. It's a sugya of the Tchilas of identifying chelas, working through the sugya of chelas, and then there's the sugya of wearing chelas. I'm not dealing with the sugya of wearing chelas. I'm dealing with the sugya now of learning the sugya of chelas. That will deal with later on the sugya. And only then, to be able to clear an area out of bias and to be able to honestly look at the sugya and work it through the emes. Is this the right chelas or is it the incorrect chelas? So I ask of you, everybody here who's listening and share, go in yourself to try to have that open-mindedness and objectivity when you come to the sugya. The second akdama that I would like to say is, I'm sure many of you are wondering how in the world did a normal, regular guy like me, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't think anybody thinks that I do manazachim. You know me pretty well, and I noticed by the look of many of your faces when I started wearing chelas of Orashak. So they probably wondered, like, where did I come to get involved in the sugya of chelas? So I'll tell you a little bit about my exposure to chelas. So my first time I was ever exposed to chelas was when I was around 14 years old. I picked up a kunshis on chelas, on the mirror of chelas. And I went through it very, very superficially, and I was not convinced when I went through it. I don't remember what it said there or not. I remember one thing stuck out in my mind, that like there's a proof that because old coins had pictures of Murex Strunculus on the coins, that was like the proof. Like, that's must be my very cautious, it must be a tailor. That's just what's said in my head. That's how I was taken to as a 14-year-old boy. So I came out like, yeah, very namokach, especially because I also had the anti-tailors inside of me. The next encounter with chelas was when I was, years later, when I was learning in the Suvas, the Hayam days. So Tesis talks about the chelazim. Speaking about the Dhamma of chelazim, we'll get to it in the shirim, how it's situated in the chelazim, like when you take it out, you're not chayav from shchita, we'll get to it. But the Tesis, we're in a time, answer to the Ri, that the Dhamma of the chelazim that you use for dye is mifkad pocket. It has its own compartment, a separate compartment, aside from the regular dam of the actual chelazim, of the lifeblood. It's a separate blood, it's not its lifeblood. And that's the dam that we use for chelazim, so mila therefore there's no shchita when it comes out. And to me, when I read it, it sounded like the Rebbeinu Tam was saying that in Tiridiyah, that he knew that that's what it was. That's what sounded like from Tiridiyah. So I said, oh, wow, we have a proof against the chelazim manena. I didn't know the first thing about Tesis Amina, but that's what the bias does. Depending on what you're in. And you say, it can't be that, you know, if it wouldn't be matchups, like, Punk has a separate sack where the die is kept, I'm sure it'll be world news, and for sure this is the right one. As I figured, in my heart I felt like it can't be, but I decided to check it out. I sent an email to Shoshan Adesh from Living Terror Museum, and I asked him, is the Dhamma of the Chelazim nowadays in its own separate Mishkan pocket that. So he responded to me that I should look at his video on the Living Terror Museum website, and he speaks all about it. And I wasn't that pushy to actually do anything about it, and nothing had came of it. So then, years later, just about a half a year ago, I was in Chulin, and something came up in Chulin which had to do with the Jesus Rambam by Chelas. And my professor mentioned to me, when it came up, my professor mentioned it, and he mentioned to me also that there's a debate, a chelas debate, which I was glad to listen to, between Shaul Shimon Deitch and Yisrael Barkin, on headlines. So I listened to the debate. The debate itself, I mean, I wasn't convinced from the debate, but it did bring me to a point to realize that Yesh Dvarim Begat, there's something going on here. So that's when I decided I'm going to take this seriously and look into it. So I printed out hundreds of pages of publications and stuff on Chelas. And I went through it, like Mamash went through hours and hours and hours and then going through these papers. And I saw that the case that the Murex, the proponents of the Murex had, was a very strong case. But then the clincher came when I looked at I was reading the anti-Chelas publications and the anti-Chelas Shurim, listen to them. I saw that was a very, very weak case. So that brought me to the point where I said, okay, I'm doing my own personal research into this. And I took the Sharim particularly, I went to the Lushan cover to cover, and I went to the Lushan, looked at all the Makaris I could get my hands on. I went through all the Makaris, the history of Makaris also. I found my own resources to look up the history on my own, like Pliny, which we're going to quote a lot of, and Aristotle. And I was, I actually did my own research also in other areas and dying and stuff like that. And I came to the conclusion, after all said and done, that there's no suffix. It's beyond the shadow of the other mirrors, is the correct source of Scalus's name. And I also formulated a mahalas of presenting the proof to the mirrors in a new way that I haven't seen yet as it was presented in. And again, the main focus of this year, I want you to see for yourself. I'm not, a wise man once told me that the best way for a person to be able to get something and believe in something is through personal conviction that he on his own experiences and sees on his own. So that's why in this shiurim I specifically printed out my Makaymus, the Makaymus itself, for everything that we're going to be speaking about in this shiurim, to the best of my abilities. And I'm going to give it to the Makaymus. That way you can see for yourself, learn it on your own. I want you to be thinking about it on your own. Your own Seicha Yashar, you know, that's why it's Kedai. Until throughout the Shurim, it's not Kedai to speak to anybody pro or anti Tchelas. Because I want you to have your own day, work through it on your own, you know, see the proofs, see what it is. Afterwards, in Vakasha, speak to the anti and pros and see everything else. But in terms of the developing stages, to develop your own Seicha Yashar in the Sugya itself. So I'm going to give you the Ma'ariv claims as we're going to go through the proofs. You can bring them home and look at them on your own and go through and tell me what you think. And that's going to be the setup of this year. You know, the actual technical setup of this year, first we're going to go through the basics of Tchelas and the search of Tchelas, because not everybody here is going to be familiar with the actual Maseiach Tchelas and the different stages in the search of Tchelas. If you are familiar with it, please bear with me. And the next year we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the proofs. And then we're going to go through five standalone proofs. Each one set, five sets of standalone proofs. Each one coming from a different angle to prove that the Mirror Tchelas is indeed the correct source of Tchelas. And then we're going to have a question and answers, frequently asked questions and answers on the Tchelas and the Mirror. Then at the end we're going to speak about the Das Gedolim. What's the Das Gedolim in regards to wearing Tchelas? Any questions or comments, or to get the Makaris from me, you can email me at ysm13351@gmail.com. Again, that's ysm13351@gmail.com. So you can email me at the questions. The first question that we have to ask in the Sugya of Tchelas is, what is Tchelas? So, in Cheder, we understood, we had a picture in our heads that Tchelas is from Chilatim, Dama Chilatim. What happens is a certain fish in the ocean that comes up once every 70 years. I'm not sure how it comes up, how we thought it came up, but we knew it came up out of the ocean once every 70 years. And then, again, speak for everyone, but this is my own Cheder impression. And then you say, once every 70 years, you used to go take it and take out its dam and dye things, dye wool. Now, the first thing we have to know, before getting into what is a chilazim, what chilas is chilas is a dye. It's a dye, it's the name of a dye, or more accurately, the way Rashi and Rashi's Truma says it, it's wool dyed with the dam chilazim. That's what it is. It's not a color. It was borrowed to use as a color. It's a borrowed term to use as a color. But in Tanakh, you'll never find Tchelas, as far as I know, or in Shas, Bavli. I don't believe you'll ever find Tchelas being used as a color, per se. In the Zayar, you'll find the word Tichla being used as a color. But the Tchelas itself is not, I don't think you ever found it used as a color. It's a dye. All the times in Tanakh, we finally found this garments dyed with this dyed Tchelas. And it's an important thing, as we're going to see in the shiurim, to keep that in mind. The Tchelas itself, the dye, Tchelas, this wool dye, Tchelas, was a world commodity. It wasn't something which was local to Tzitzis and Mishkan. It was something that was used by the whole world. We find it in Esther, a couple of times in Esther, Tchilas is mentioned, and it was mentioned in Cheskel a couple of times, once by Asher, that the officers, the commanders of the army of Asher were Tchilas, and Tzur used to import Tchilas from Yadisha. You find the Gemara in Erevin, talks about somebody who finds the chut of Tchilas on the floor, and it's just a rabbin. It's also trying to use it for tzitzis. Why? Because with Chayshish, it wasn't nitzvah l'shema. It wasn't dyed l'shem tzitzis, it was dyed l'shem glima, for sure. So, tchilas was evidently used in regular clothes. It was a dye. Now, the command to use tchilas was, for tzitzis was, to use this dye, for tzitzis as well. So now, it's the same thing, Parshas Truma, the zohav, kesef, and chayshis. Nobody would say zohav was a mishkan zohav. Zohav is a world commodity, gold. Silver is a world commodity. Chayshis is a world commodity. Chayshis is also a world commodity. And Hagamah and Telashni is also dyed, it's used by the world. Telashni is, according to the older Rishonim, it's the Kermes insect, it's dyed, red dyed, it's the Kermes insect. And Hagamah is Mechalitif, some Rishonim seem to learn that it's black insect. Hagam Shilim seems to learn that it was a mere expandias, the cousin of the mere extrantis, which we want to speak about. But all these, what we're talking about in the Pesukim, are world commodities. They're things that they were used all over the world. What is the Tchela Zai? Tchela Zai we lost. We don't know anymore. We don't have Rishonim to tell you. Mostly we'll see soon later in this year. But the Rishonim don't say which animal the Dai Tchela came from. It was lost. It looks like Argalman, according to it seems to be Mechalek. It's unclear to us what exactly Argalman was. Because it's also the identity of the Tchelis. We lost the identity of Tchelis. Is it possible to go ahead and bring it back? Was Tchelis Nignas? Meaning, it's gone. Tchelis is gone, and there's no possibility of bringing it back until the Yerushim Mashiach comes, or maybe even night of the Yerushim Mashiach, or no, Tchelis could come back. If you find Tchelis, you can bring it back. That's the first question when it comes to searching for Tchelis. Does the search even end before it starts? The question is on Nignas. Is there a makar to say that Tchelis was Nignas?
How does Nignas relate to lost?
Oh, so Nignas would mean to say that it's a term used that this, that the chilazin of chiles was put away aside and not to be brought back until when Mashiach comes, basically Mitzvah comes back, that's when we're going to get back.
It's not literal. Not literal that it was put aside.
Was it hidden
like
in
the
cave?
It was Nignas or something. Not like that.
Right, so the people, we don't, it's really open to discussion. So Nignas, there's no material about to say what Nignas means. You know, so the term Nignas just means, it's a way of just saying that we don't have it, there's only that we don't have it, and we'll get it back in Mashiach. Isn't Nignas halachically that if Nignas is gone, you can't get it back? Is there a makar to say something or no? If you want to get it back, you get it back.
Where was it? Is it recorded it was lost?
What we're going to talk about right now.
Because you said it was lost, but what's the core for that it was lost?
Oh, that we lost the information of what it was?
Yeah, I guess so.
So that...
Was there a point that Tchelis was on Tzitzis, for example? Was there a point that they were wearing it that way?
They were wearing it. Tchelis was being worn up until the times of the Savroim. The Savroim were the last recorded it's in the Gemara by Rabbi Chai. Rabbi Chai was from the beginning of the Savroim. But he was the last one to actually see Tchelis that we know of. The earliest recording that went missing was by the Sefer Chinuch. He writes, and there are times of Rishonim will speak about that we don't have Tchelis anymore. The Sefer Chinuch writes, see, I'm a Meravim that we really don't have Lishamanu, that somebody was there to bring Tchelis on Tzitzis. So we lost it around the time, in between the Savraim and the Rishonim, somewhere in that Tkufa. And from then on, we don't have Rishonim aren't telling us, we don't have any Rishonim saying exactly what is the Chilazim. So, that's That's where we're holding. Now the question is there mockery to go ahead and search for the tchel? Let's go bring it back. So now the makar that is brought to saying that tchel is with nignas is a sifri. Here we get a payment and then okay, so the first makar, the makar that Chelas was Nignas, is a Sefri. The Sefri says like this, it's a story, it's an Agadic Sefri. And the story, Omer Rabbi Yaisi, see at the top of the page, Omer Rabbi Yaisi, Pam Achas Yisi Mahalach, Mitziv with Tzur. One time I was walking from Tziv to Tzur, to Tyre. Matzasi, Zokin Echot, I found a Zokin Echot, and I'm writing like Parnasas Chabaman. What is your job? What's your livelihood? Omer Ali, Mechilozin. I work above trapping Mechilzaimus. And then I'm making that for me and selling it. Amarati Lai, I said to him, Rim Matzihu, you could find Mechilozin? Well, Omer Ali, Hashemayim, Shavua, Sheyesh Mokim Bayam, there's a place in the ocean, Shemutel Baharim, it's Mutel by the mountains, the Samamiyas Makifus Eisai, Samamiyas are spiders, they are surrounding the Chilazim. There's no person that goes there. Shein samamiyis makishes eisai umeis v'nimek b'mkayma. There's no person that could go there and that these spiders bite them and they die and they melt on the spot. Amarti nikru shenik ganus latzadikim lasibalei. It appears to me that the thales was ganus for tzadikim for lasibalei.
Source
the
sifri for the video.
Well, the source of Zifri is Zay Sabracha, it's been Zay Sabracha, Piska, Shin, Nun. So now, this Zifri is clearly an Agadic Zifri. There's no question, it's not a simon taking out from the Agadic Zifri, the actual statement that the President of Nazar Labi in itself is an Agadic statement. Now, the Zifri itself is very hard to understand on a Pshat level, it's impossible to understand on a Pshat level. Because first of all, the he himself, if some mummies are killing everybody who's getting to the chelas, so how's this guy living through it and getting chelas? How's he getting chelas? Also, chelas, as we know, existed 1,000 years after the Sefer was written. So, for 1,000 years, they're still having chelas all the way. So evidently, it wasn't. This we can't be understood to shoot them. The name of Yehuda, I quoted over here, and Tinyana Ibn Ezer Tzimnan Dalet, writes, Prabiyarati Kama Pa'amin, Shemidova Shaleh Magnu Al Daitoi, Ma Kavanase Ma Taimai, Ein Lahavi Raya Vimenu, Loi Laraya, Loi Lestiro, Al Dabar Acher. So now, so the name is saying, and it's Dabar Pasha Mitzvah, Dabar Mitzvah, if it's a Gadek Sifri, and a Dabar that we don't understand the Pirish of the Ayurvedah, because it doesn't make sense to you look at the Ezra Pshat. So that can't be a makar to say halachically it was Nignas, lots of love. The I bring it here, it sounds so if you're right, somebody who mixes Agoda with Halacha, is Oivron being Zeria Kilayim. It's Halacha is Halacha and Agoda is Agoda. If you have a simen from an Agoda, that's one thing. But if the Agoda itself, you can't use an Agoda itself as a raya to halacha. And so maybe the Sefri itself, you can't use that. It's not a makar to say halachically it was nignas. The other makar to say halachically it was nignas, and to say that tchilas was nignas is Arizal. That Arizal in a couple places says tchilas is something which is miyuchad to be used at the times of the base of mikdash. But again, the Sefri is also Said and Abad al-Dar Said, and you can't use it in Halacha because we know that 1,000 years after the Bais HaMikdash was written, we're still using Chelas. There is the Shus Makeda of Yashin quotes in his Tshuva, who also quotes the Sefri, and he quotes Mejda, it says as Nigna, since I quote Mejda as Nigna, and he says over there, he ends off his Shiva, he's writing to Rabbi Rebbe, why not to Rebbe's. And he quotes, and he ends off his shiddur. He says, however, if you bring Raya's, the way you're saying that, but Emerson is the right one, then you can still say that the Nitzaytzis of Lassus Lavi already started, the Mitzvah Mashiach, the lights of Mitzvah Mashiach already started. So merely you can say that Chilas came back. That's what he says. So he himself, even though he learned the Tzifri Kipshuzet, but at the same time, he understood that it's not the hechrach to say that we can't find it now, as he comes closer to the Gula. He could come back. The Samar of Yale, Dibre Yale, also says a similar idea in Marcha Yatzim, of Shem Melch, of Rosh Malchus. He also says a similar part. He says that Nes of Purim was a scholar of the Gula of the Bayez Sheni. So, Mela, that's why there are some estimate that they lost Tchelas over the course of the Golas, and the Tchelas came back. When Mordechai, when raising their son, the son of the son of the son of the son of the son was coming back, he was coming to the soul of the Bayez Sheni. So that would say that he could say it lines up with Yeshua's Malkai, that says that when it's coming closer to the time of the Gula, so then the Tchelis does have an offer to come back, even if it was me. But the Aruch HaShulchan, those people, I heard a shiur one time that put the next page, here I heard a shiur that nobody from the Tchelis ever addressed the Aruch HaShulchan as being a source of Nignat, and we never dealt with it, and for very good reason, because I don't see anything in the Aruch HaShulchan. I acknowledge nothing. But if you want, we could read the Aruch HaShulchan inside. He was talking about the Rezina Tchelis, and look at towards the end of the Simen Tes Sif. Base towards the end is Vida. Shze shem svaris, svaris she echad his svar she matzach ilazim, va'asa mimenu tchelas. Somebody got up, he's referring to the Zinah Rebbe, and he claimed that he found the chilazim and he made from the tchelas, v'him shev echad eze anoshim. And some people went after him, ach lo yhoi lo yishremeya migdele adar mikal Yisrael, and nobody listened to him from the Gdele Adar or from Kal Yisrael, and the matter was put to rest until Ad Yavi Goyal Nehemi Minoi. I don't know what you see from here. He's definitely not coming to say a halachim as Nina Zalzal Avay. He was definitely not coming to Zeruch HaKadosh. He's claiming that he's coming to Zeruch HaKadosh as Nina Zalzal Avay. So evidently, it was part of the shprech that he's saying. There was this battle, other Zina came up, and he didn't have any followers, and there was this battle, Ad Lazal Avay. I mean, that's when it's going to come in. Some of that's when it's going to come back.
It's no worse than later
touching the Sephiri,
that could be
I'll
come back earlier.
That could be too. Right. There's the answer to any makar from the Rosh Hashanah that he's paskening that it can't come back. So now we're going to go. So, in other words, basically, bottom line, there's no makar. There's no makar to say that it was nignas, halachically nignas, that we cannot, that it cannot come back. Now, if there's a mahalach, if there's a mahalach to learn the Agada Kipshutai, I'm not saying that's an invalid mahalach, to go ahead and say, learn the Sefri, and say, no, I'm not going to believe that it can't come back, because it's Nigna, it's not saying it's invalid, but it's definitely not the mahalach of Shach that the Amayan takes, that the Rebbe Yisrael takes. I think from speaking to many Paiskim about this, and nobody that I've spoken to actually held that Nignaz was at hand against Tchelis. And they all, I see the people who are avidly against Tchelis, and they said, yeah, for this, you say it's an Agada, that's not the kind of against Tchelis. So then we go on, let's go to the Makarios that say that the Hedya, that Tchelis, could come back at any time. So now we have the Maril, Shasuvah's Maril. That's on the first page, back to the first page. Where it backs in, it says the svaru. So we're talking about over there wearing a beged of linen, pishton, with tzitzis of pishton. So is that mutter or not? Now that we've gone to it. But it's not that it's aser. There's a reason to restrain it, whether you could or you can't. So technically, I think that I'm saying, logically, we could, but I'm saying, in the restraint, it's like this. And the Taina of Yishoinim that they can't wear it nowadays is because it's a chash. In the times of Chazal, you weren't allowed to wear it like a pishtan with pishtan putting. Because it's a chash that when you have a tzaslaila, then you're going to be, you're going to put a tzeles on the beged of pishtan. The tzeles is made out of tzemer. The beged is pishtan, another piece of pishtan. So mele, you're going to have a problem of kilayim, because you're not going to be chayav in tzitzis, and you are going to have a tzitzis of kilayim. So the question is nowadays we don't have tzeles. Do we have the same there or not? That's my thing, so shine it. And the Maril writes, There's a svara that maybe the matter will go back to its kilkul. Maybe it's right there. It's in the Amelach. We have the siman for it. You go look at it, search it out, and then it can come back very easily. So we see that the Maril is mafurish that tchilas could come back. Next, we have the Rishonim, we have the Brit and the Rosh. Don't bring down any halachas, which are negate lots of love. They don't bring down anything based on Pira. They don't bring down anything which is negate specifically lots of love. And they do bring down all halachas tchilas. So you see that the Brit and the Rosh clearly tell that tchilas was not something which was needing that lots of love can't come back. The Levush, here we have, go to the next page, we have the Levush. That I call the sefer levush at tchilas, because just like a person with mukhiv to wear tchilas and tzitzis every day, if it were to be found, so to these chayim malbish and these dinim barachayim. The Talmud writes that he also goes with the mahalach of the Maril, and he writes also that shem yisgal at tchilas v'yavodei sezikilayim. The Magen Midubna writes that if it wasn't for the fact that tchilas inim ha'akiv es alavan, and that wouldn't be Mekayim Tzitzis v'chalal, we would go to the ends of the world, go search out Tchilas to go bring it back. See, the Magi also had the Tchilas to come back any time. The Chen B'Shleim also writes, "Ein adover mochuk shol yimsa Tchilas af bizman hazeh." In Namayin al kol abedikas, Moshe Tikkun Rambam zal b'hilchas Tzitzis. The Malbim also writes, he writes also like the Maril, and he writes, "Ayin b'shal tshuvas r'dvaz, efshu sh'ara yoyim ha'umatsoy, el sh'ein yoydim l'tzoydoy." So you see that he holds also right there. And he says that Ulfiza Yeshlaimar began Sazan Tzitzis, Yeshash, Shami Yilandu, to make Tzitzis again with Manasseh. So you see that Malvin also had the Tzitzis will come back. Marasham, was known that he wore the Rizin of Tzitzis with Tzima. And Beis Levi we'll get to also later, what we have at the Rizin of Kodur, also the writer he held, the Tzitzis could come back nowadays, which we'll get to later when we deal with the Seder. So, bottom line, we have all these Rishonim and Achreinim, which were Hedyon, the first, hold that Tchilas could come back.
What does the Maril mean that Shem Yatzadar would kill Kula?
That maybe it will come to wear a beged of Tchilas, a beged of Pishtan, and Tchilas, if it's having Tchilas, and it will be on a Tzuzlaila, and it will be over Kilayim without being kind of mitzvah. Now, in the search for tchilas, so the search for tchilas started, the first one to actually practically start the search for tchilas was Rav Geshen HaGlaina, the Rezina Rebbe. He was the first one to begin the search for tchilas. And he came to the conclusion, not clear exactly why, but he came to the conclusion that the cuttlefish was the correct source of tchilas. The cuttlefish. So turn to the next page, you'll see a picture on the top left corner. That's the cuttlefish. It's a squid. And this squid gives a black ink. And he was of the opinion that the cuttlefish was the correct source of tchilas. But the problem was that the cuttlefish ink is black. And it's not blue. And if you use it to dye it for ink, then it's brown. It's sepia brown. But it's not, by far, not blue. So he went to the scientist and they basically tricked him. They said they basically gave him a recipe for what's called Prussian blue. Basically, it's a synthetic blue. It's synthetic. It's saying iron. Iron turns blue, gives off a blue color under certain circumstances, and it just needs, the iron filings need to be bonded to the fabric. You can snap them stick. So it needs to have, there's something called mordants. Mordants are things which act as an in-between to stick one thing to another. We'll talk about it more later. So it needed this connector. So basically he used the cuttlefish ink as the connector between the glue and the wall. However, you didn't use cuttlefish, you could use any fish, any living creature, you could use a person's own blood also. But the nice here, that's what they did, and that was the original Tchelis.
Why is that a problem?
Because then the dye of it, not the mordant, the dye is what gives the color, has nothing to do with Dan Chilazin. Zero. The Dan Chilazin is just a binding agent, it's not the dye.
Have you seen the Siman that has the pure blood is blue, or it can be blue through mixtures?
Oh, so that places entertain such a possibility in Menaches. Which again, we'll get to that point later on. It's a very important point. However, that's very good when you're dealing with the coloring, with the dye itself. When the dye itself, you need to mix different things inside, and then maybe you can hear a possibility that it's not only the damach does itself. The other Rishayim seem to argue to this, the Rapashi you can't use. Seems to that the Rapashi can't use other things.
We're going to get to that back.
But in this case, it's very different because over here, the mordant is not the dye. Mordant is a connector. That the dye is what gives, it's the part which gives the color. The mordant is just what sticks it together. So to go ahead and say that the dye of it, that just the mordant of it, could it has down filas, and that's ridiculous.
I don't see why not. Being bigger is the simanim on the creature, and the blood could be formed in the desired dye, so maybe it's not so important. If the simanim, whatever, all the simanim about the animal, not about the blood itself could be whatever color it is, and just you have to get it to become blue through whatever
other. No, the blood isn't whatever color. Let's say you take blue paint. Yeah? You need to stick blue paint. So, according to you, what you're saying is, you go to a store, buy a can of blue paint, and go stick it using whatever, you would be blue paint, so you do use another thing that doesn't stick, that you need that mortar to connect it to. And you take the chilazin, down chilazin, you take, and then connect this blue paint to the wall. There you go, you have tails. That's what will come out.
As long as the akbar is on the animal, why not? If the akbar is on the animal, then I don't really care how I get this blood to be the right color. Well, I figure out how to do it.
You're not getting the blood to be... Just maybe I have to share this, I don't take too much time, I have time left. So, because I'm Maisa, Yitzhak Herzog was the one in the early 1900s. He basically took the original Tchelis and sent it to a chemist, sent the recipe to a chemist to look it over, and the chemist told him that what you got here is regular Prussian glue. He showed him how you could do it with ox blood, just the same thing. Took ox blood and did the same thing with it. You take any living creature, and do exactly the same thing with it. And Rizzo was astounded, he couldn't believe his eyes, what was going on. And he went on to go ahead to try to find the next possibility of what is the chilazin. So what he came up with was he basically came up with two options. Either the Murex trunculus, which seemed historically to be the most likely candidate for Tchelis. However, he had some issues with the Murex trunculus. He never saw it itself. He was based on writings and things, that information he got from scientists. But he had also, I think, the fact that it gave that he didn't know how it gave blue, it just gave purple. So he basically left that in question. He didn't see how that could be. So he went on to say that Giantina snail might be the Murex trunculus. He wasn't secure about that either. If you look, the Giantina snail is the one on the top right. This is a snail which floats on the top of the water. And this doesn't give a dye of cloth. It gives a color, but it's water soluble. That means it doesn't die. You put on fabric and you go put it underwater and it's going to wash right off. doesn't stick. So he basically left it as a Tzartian. Next edition Tchiles was in 1969. Encyclopedia Talmudis was doing Erech Chilazim, and they contacted Dr. Zeidman, Dr. Israel Zeidman, and they asked him to look at the Herzog's doctorate and summarize the Herzog's doctorate. And he did that for them, he went through it for them, and he went through it. And he held that he looked into it himself, and he held that the Mir Shankaris was certainly the likely candidate to be the fabricators. However, still at that time, we'll again more speak about that soon, that they didn't know how blue is going to come from the Mirex. We'll speak about that in a minute. So that wasn't until 1988, Will Talbert, he was the one who was pushing this research, and it came out that they found that through a certain process called deramination, we'll talk about it also soon, that the chalazim of the Mirex does give us blue dye. And Dr. Zeidman himself found another way also how to get blue dye, discuss in a few minutes. And that was the Mirex that we have with my name. Okay, so in that you can see the Mirex Tranquilus, see a picture of it. Also, the third picture we have on the page. That is the picture of the Mirex Tranquilus. But, so now what is the process of the Mirex Tranquilus? How to die with the Mirex Tranquilus? So the Mirex Tranquilus, the way it works is that it has, I'm going to leave out the scientific terms and try to keep that simple as I can. There's a vein under the shell of the snail. The Mirex Tranquilus is a marine snail. It lives on the bottom of the Mediterranean. And when you take it, you crack open the shell. You break open the shell with a hammer. And underneath the shell, you will expose a vein. The vein in it has chemicals. It has two chemicals inside of the vein, two substances. And when you break the vein open, these chemicals come together and they form something called three substances, actually. It's called indigo, monobromo indigo, and dibromo indigo. And that, when you take it out, you have to collect a number of murexes and you put them into a cup. You will get, as it comes out, it's going to be a clear liquid. Once it oxidizes, it touches the ear, it turns a very, very deep, it turns a deep purple. Just like when your blood, when you have a vein, the blood inside the vein is blue. When you cut it, it opens up. When it gets oxidized, it turns red. So the same thing happens over there, and it turns purple. But when you can dye it, when it comes out, when this dye comes out, it's very like a jellyish almost. It's water soluble. It washes off in water. If you were to put wool inside and just put under the sink, it will come right off. So in order to dye with the Mirex dye, it needs to go through a process called reduction. It means you have to put certain salmonin inside, like the Gemara says, put salmonin inside and causes a reduction process. It means that it brings this purple liquid back to a yellow-green liquid. And there in that liquid, that's when you can put the wool inside and it will stick to the wool and then the wool will be dyed in a very, very strong way. Every murex is different. Every single murex is different. You're not going to get two murexes which give exactly the same color because there are different levels, varying levels of indigo, monobrome indigo, dibrome indigo. And Rabbi already, Trivius is one of the ancient historians, already said that murexes from the different areas of the Mediterranean all give different colors. He said some give more red, some give more violet, some give more closer to black, some give blue. Also, we've also found by 150 years ago, a certain scientist in murexes also claimed that there are murexes that we've seen that give straight blue. And recently, it was a much recent discovery, a few weeks ago, Rav Mordechai Honig made a recent discovery in a certain area in the Mediterranean that there are Mirex Tranquilus which give a straight blue. The research is still currently going into research, and if anyone wants to learn more about it, we're going to be putting out an article about this, his discoveries. So that is the Murex. So now, if you were to go take Murexes, which let's say we get from Crete, they come out purple, dye is purple, it doesn't come out straight. But if you were to go ahead and dip it and put wool inside of it, and you take it out, it will be purple. So what they do is they do under the, when it's in this state of being reduced, in its reduced state, being this yellow, which is the state of dying, it is exposed to sunlight. So then the sunlight will basically the redness will go out, the purple will go away, and it's going to be left with only pure blue. So again, so if you're using a Murex which gives straight blue color purple, if you're using a Murex that has purple blue, so then exposure to sunlight in its reduced state, which is its dying state, then it will become blue. Nowadays, what we use for reduction process, and we use chemicals which do exactly the same thing as the natural chemicals that we did then. The chemicals in the Murex don't have anything to do with the color at all, whatsoever. It's simply a reducing agent just to get it into this reduced form. So back then they used to use natural salmon. They used to use either honey, day honey, rat and snails, to do this reduction. And that process used to take around 10 days to do. When it was reduced, in its reduced state for 10 days, even if it would be in a dark room, even if it wouldn't be in the sunlight, it would still turn blue. And this is what one of the scientists who involved in natural dyeing mentioned. We found archaeological finds that indeed they dyed blue with Murex tranquillus. It was a garment found in the Wadi Mubarak textile that was dyed blue with the Murex tranquillus. And so we know for a fact there's no purple here whatsoever. So in other words, they use this as a blue dye. So that designer found a new way of, a different way of having a blue, of having a violet blue, and that would not change the molecular structure of the cloth, taking the bromine out of the cloth, and that was like they're heating it up. And the purple is a very, very matte, stable color. When you're talking about the dye, the stem color is blue. The purple is not stable. It comes off in many different ways. So the salt water might take it off. Now, you could get, if you're mixing with salt water, it could be the tap. That causes it to turn blue. But the heating it turns blue. Again, exposure to sunlight makes it turn blue. The purple is not stable. The blue is the stable color of the Murex. And we have Murex which are purple cloth, that give a straight blue. Okay. So that was in terms of the actual search for Thales. So in summary, just to summarize so far what we've spoken about until now, that was, again, we decided we had to have Thomas, and the set of the year, which is whether it's Thales, the Thales is a dye, a wool dye, not a color. Again, then we spoke about what is Thales, we spoke about the Thales being Nignas and its possibility to rediscover Thales. And we went through the search for Thales, the Zenith, Thales, the Herzog Thales, and the Thales we had. I wanted to give a big thank you to all the people who were about to help me tremendously in my research in Thales. We so far can thank him immensely for his the time and the integrity that he gave into helping me out with Thales. Every time I would discuss with many writers, he would always tell me that this was the type Nege spoke about, and he was a tremendous resource of information for me in Thales. Also, Dr. Zeidman, thank him a lot, giving me hours of time to have him for hours discussing the Sugya of Thales with him. Also, Shtetz of Lush Aaron, Mayor Hellman, and all those involved in putting out the Shtetz of Lush Aaron. And that was one of the key points in my helping in my research in Thales. And there are many others, Ramon Honig, for his research in Thales, and a lot of others. I can't mention everybody by name, but I'm very appreciative in their help in my research in Thales. Mm-hmm.